Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in Luke 11. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. This is God's word. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And as I said before the service, we talked quite a bit about prayer on Sunday. We talked about in relation to baptism. We are God's children. He is our Father. We speak to Him, our Father, in prayer. Where do we know we're God's children? At the font, in the waters of baptism. Now tonight I want to look a little closer at these readings from Genesis 18 and Luke 11. Because Jesus gives us this bold promise in our Holy Gospel. Both these texts are full of boldness. The boldness of Abraham to approach God, who's ready to pour down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham steps in between God and the object of his wrath. And then the boldness of this promise that Jesus gives his disciples. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. These words invite us to be bold when we pray. But oftentimes, we are the opposite of bold when we pray. We are weenies when it comes to prayer. We seem disappointed and unexpectant, as though we expect God will give us the exact opposite of what we ask. Prayers often seem like an invitation to be disappointed, almost to the point where we ask for one thing and expect God to give us the other. Our list of prayers that we pray on Sunday, we have names that have been on that list since I've come here over a year and a half ago, probably have been on there for years. Maybe we think we're praying for these people. We wonder, is it doing any good? Does anything ever change? The same people are sick. New names are added much more quickly than names are taken off, it would seem. Farmers will pray for rain, and a lot of times they don't get it. Sick people pray for healing, but oftentimes their condition worsens. So what's the point of praying? Obviously, we know we're supposed to do it. Some people think it's the other way around. They think that while there are those people who pray and expect nothing in return, there are those people who think that if they pray hard enough, believe hard enough, focus hard enough, then God will most definitely give them what they've asked for. So if you need a new car, and you pray hard enough for a new car, and you believe for a new car, then God will give you a new car. If you have a disease, and you pray hard for God to heal your disease, and you believe that God will heal your disease, He will do it. But if you don't get the new car, or healed from the disease, then you must not have prayed hard enough, or you must not have had enough faith. What a horrible, horrible way to approach prayer. Thinking that the bad things you're going through are because you don't have enough faith. That's not just unbiblical. That's a downright satanic teaching. Jesus teaches his disciples, and he teaches you and me, what prayer looks like and how it happens. Prayer is when children speak to their Father in heaven. That's how we address Him, isn't it? Father. Every single person in this room knows what it means for a child to approach a father. Every one of us had a father. Maybe some of you had wonderful fathers in your childhood. You remember asking Him for things. Maybe some of you had fathers that weren't so great. You remember wishing that he would be more reliable. Maybe your father died when you were young or left your life because of divorce or for some other reason. You remember wishing that you had a father to call upon. Well, every one of us has such a father. A father who is always there, always reliable, and always hears our needs and concerns. All of us know that a father is supposed to give his child good things. The child might not always know they're good, but a child expects to receive goodness from the father. Jesus first uses the example of a friend asking for help when in need. A true friend won't make excuses to not help you out. A true friend will help you in a time of need. And Jesus says the same is true of the father. No father gives his child who asks for a fish a serpent. No father gives his child who asks for an egg a scorpion, Jesus says. No, the father gives the child good things because the father loves the child. And because you and I are those made God's children in baptism, joined to the cross of Jesus Christ, God our Father does and will give good things to those who are blessed to be called his children. This past week, I was doing a lot of visits, bringing communion to shut-ins, and did a hospital visit, and visited a number of different people. When I do a communion service with a shut-in, some of you maybe have had me give you communion at the home before. I try to do like a little church service, okay? I sing, and I do a read. I do a scripture passage. I don't do all three readings. I kind of give a little sermon. I call it drive-through church because it takes like 10 minutes. Instead of the hour 15 you get with me on Sunday morning or an hour on Wednesday night. But it's a little quicker, but it is a service. And I'll take a reading and I'll talk about it for just a few minutes. And the verse I read with the people I was visiting these last few days was the one I read at the beginning of this sermon. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. And then later on, Jesus goes in our gospel and he talks about how fathers give their children good things. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Everything that God the Father gives us is good. How do you believe that when you've been laying in the same nursing home bed for months or even years? Everything the Father gives you is good. How do you believe that when your family's been fighting nonstop, and it just seems to keep getting worse and worse and worse? Everything God the Father gives you is good. How do you believe that when a pile of bills keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have no idea how you will ever even begin to pay that pile down? God the Father gives his children good things. What is the greatest good that he gave us? It came on a cross. It came in the suffering and death of his son. A father gives good things to the children who pray to him. He gives you the greatest thing of all tonight as you come forward on knees, some of which are creaky, some of which are arthritic, some of which won't bend at all. Knees that have been through hurt and pain, and bodies along with it that have suffered as well. He gives you the greatest good of all in his crucified and risen son, Jesus Christ, in body and blood. For you. That good came in the form of a whip across our Savior's back, thorns pushed into his head, blood trickling down his face, nails piercing his hands and feet. A body crushing itself under its own weight as it asphyxiates upon the cross. That is God the Father's idea of good. And you know it, because you know that cross is good. You know that cross is forgiveness. You know that cross is healing. You know that cross is peace. The key that unlocks prayer is Jesus himself, crucified and yet risen for you. You know the Father gives good things and only good things to his children. Even if you survey your life and everything that is around you and it all seems bad and terrible and painful and it hurts and it grieves you and it breaks you down, your Father is good. And he loves you. And his love never fails. It is always good. Remember, our Father isn't like the fathers of this world, some of which are good, some of which are bad, most of which are probably in the middle. They have their moments, both good and bad. But our Heavenly Father is the very definition of good. If he pours fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, it is good. And if he spares them for the sake of even 10 people, it is also good. If you suffer in this life and cry out to God in prayer, asking him to take away your pain and your hurt, and he should say to you, like he said to his servant Paul in 2 Corinthians when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you," it will be good. A day will come, either when you're lying in your bed, peacefully falling to sleep, surrounded by loved ones, without any pain, at a ripe old age, and you drift peacefully into your rest, your sleep, to await the resurrection of the dead, it will be good. But if it should happen in an instant, unexpected, perhaps in a way that's tragic and leaves hurt in the family that you leave behind, it will also be good. Because it comes from our Father. And where does he work? He works in crosses. He works in Jesus, the one through whom you are able to speak into your Father's ear. We talked about that on Sunday with baptism, didn't we, those of you who were here? When you're baptized into Christ, that means you're right there at the Father's right hand. That means your Heavenly Father's ear is right there. Speak to him, because you're his child and he loves you. And there's the proof. There's the proof that he loves you. Speak to him, knowing that in Jesus Christ, he loves you, he hears you, and pours out good things upon good things over and over for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.